the fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He is the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Everybody. Wake up late. Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the place.
Wake up late now, everybody.
Wake up late
now, everybody.
Wake up late
now, everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Hey, everybody. This is Dougie Almeida from the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Last week, I was at the World Series of Comedy main event in St. Louis, participating in the festival and contest. Didn't advance, but I did get to hang out with a bunch of buddies from the comedy scene. Today's show, you'll get to hear my interviews with fellow comedians Conrad Brembrick, John Wynn, and the always entertaining John Gregory. Now, for your entertainment pleasure, here are those interviews, one after another. Hey everybody, this is Dougie Almeida from the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, live on location in East St. Louis, Illinois. I know, I was scared I bought the wrong ticket when I landed in St. Louis at the World Series main event at the Casino Queen. And I'm joined here by Conrad Brembrick.
Yes.
Who actually advanced.
Yes, on Tuesday 8 o'clock show.
Yeah.
Got first place.
And you brought out your ukulele.
I did. I brought out a ukulele.
And you know you know there were some comics in the audience that go, oh, this fucking guy.
Oh, I know.
On my show, there was a guy with a guitar.
Oh, how would that go?
Well, he didn't advance either.
So. Oh.
And I didn't advance, fans. Although I think I had it was a really good show. But
you'll get work out of it. That's the main thing.
I always said this about the World Series of Comedy.
Yeah.
People said, how do you get, people ask me this weekend, or this week,
yeah.
Not the weekend yet. That's probably why I lost. I don't know the difference between the weekend and a weekday. But they said, you know, how do you, you're working, you know, they said, like, well, how do you get the work? I go, well, I'll be honest with you, from the World Series of Comedy, like,
yeah.
I would do the satellites. Like, I'm going to be in Chattanooga, Tennessee at the Comedy Catch. Not this week, next weekend, but the weekend after.
Yeah.
And I got that spot because I did a satellite.
Yeah.
And I figured, why am I going to send this guy a million emails? Why don't I just go get stage time at his club?
Yeah, FaceTime is everything in this business.
Now, you're out of Atlanta?
Yes, I live in Atlanta. Or actually, south of Atlanta in Sharpsburg, but I say Atlanta.
But don't let the facts get away of a good story. but it's just fucking Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like you're going to say, oh, I'm not a census taker.
Yeah.
You're in Atlanta area, so that's your scene.
Yeah, Atlanta's home base.
You doing any acting?
I have done a little acting, nothing major, movies or anything.
So if you had to put one thing on advancing, because listen, I shared with you, like, obviously when I come to these festivals, my goal is to get to the weekend at least. I want to get to the main event. All the bookers are there. You get a chance to get up with everybody, be on a great show, probably packed. And then, so when I didn't get, my name didn't get called today, you know, part of me is like, yes, I'm working. Yes, this isn't like a, this is my last ditch effort to try to, you know, I told the wife, honey, if I don't do this, it's over.
Yeah.
But, you know, and there was even part of me is like, oh, I'm going home.
You
know,
yeah.
I get to go home, be with the wife. But then, of course, there's that part of me that's like, I really wanted to be on that show on the weekend.
Yeah.
So this is your first Saturday.
At the main event.
In the main event in the top 8.
Yeah.
Or top 9, whatever it is now.
Yeah.
I did it in 2015. I got a lot of work from that after that, too.
Yeah.
So you need an agent.
Yeah, I do. You want to be my agent?
30%, dude.
30?
No, I'll do 10.
30? Okay, all right. I'll give you 15 just because I like you.
And
I don't know how to negotiate.
You know, you're a horrible negotiator. That's why I'm a fiduciary.
You want 50? We can do 50.
Yeah, that's nice, man. I don't want to screw you or anything. Yeah, that, see, the problem with that shit, then somebody else finds out.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the fuck is wrong with Dougie?
Yeah.
You know, so it's good that there's a bit of a balance.
System. Yeah.
So how long have you been doing comedy now?
10 years in July, so this is my 10th year.
Well, good. This is the 10th year rule. And in your 10th year, now you actually are advancing. You can now say that you are in. Because that's, I think it was around me, the 9th, 10th, it was probably the 10th year that I got into that. So it's perfect. So we're almost like brothers.
We are. I think so. We look the same.
Well, you got glasses.
Well, I got rid of them. I got LASIK.
How old are you now?
I'm 29.
Dude, you're young too.
Yeah.
See, I don't want to say my age.
No, 58.
Yeah, well, thanks. Yeah, I was at the bar earlier. These two girls said, man, you look great for your age. I'm like, thanks. I told them I was 64. Any rate, man. So you gotta do, here's the next thing. Now you're in the finals.
Yeah.
You've never been there before. This is virgin territory.
Yeah.
So now you're going to have to figure out what's your strategy. You're going to go with the material you did. You're going to bring out the ukulele. Are you going to, you know, you have another song for us?
Yeah.
Would you already have it figured out?
I already have it figured out. I have it's pretty much the same set I did. I'm not going to change a lot.
Right.
I have a couple jokes that I wanted to throw in, but I didn't have time to do them. So I'm going to throw those in, change it up a little bit, keep the structure the same, because same amount of time you want the, you know, people to know that you can do the same material for a weekend. And if you're not doing it, performing it well the whole weekend, then they're not going to book
it's
you.
It's always interesting, like, because the last contest I was at Antelope Valley, you could not repeat material when you advance.
Well, there's a lot of film and like agents out there like that for
and,
film. I think that's the difference. If it's just comedy clubs, they want to see that same material. If it's TV film, they want to see.
I would tell you this though, and Joe Lauer is always to say that just do what got you here, right?
Yeah.
That was the old saying. And but I know, you know, like Eric Yoder, who was a man who used to book for the Dr. Grins and Funny Business. He was judging one year at the main event in Vegas, and it was then that we were told, "Hey, don't worry about doing. You know, you just do what got you here. You know, whatever." But you know, he even said, as a judge, he says, "You know, I actually score a little higher if I see somebody do totally different material with the same level of right." And I used to say, "Yeah, you know." And then you think about it, that's like the value added concept.
Yeah,
that is the thing that look. You sometimes in the first round, you know, like tonight's somebody. Everybody had a great set on my show. So I was like, fuck, you know. But sometimes you go on a contest, like, oh, well, there's three people eliminated, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, they told the fart joke or something.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And so, but but that's it for the next level. I'm not coaching you. But
no.
I wouldn't mind getting 10% from the business.
No, if I get any money, I'll give you 10%.
Thanks, buddy. I don't even have to do anything. Just Anyway, we're here at the World Series of Comedy in East St. Louis at the Casino Queen, which is a pretty nice... It's a better venue than last year.
Yes.
Much better.
It's in a better location.
Better location. The room's not as large.
Yes.
And cavernous. It was a good show. So I'm going to be here all weekend. We're going to be reporting live on podcast, if that's possible. Live on tape.
Yeah.
And we'll be coming. But thanks to Conrad.
Yeah.
And everybody wish him luck.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Thanks, Dougie.
You got it, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Dougie Almeida from the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, live on location from the World Series of Comedy main event in East St. Louis, in the Illinois side. And I'm here with recently advancing to the finals, former Florida comic and now L.A. guy, John Wynn.
Hey, Doug. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. John Wynn, we win.
Yes, that's right, buddy. That's all I got. That's my big bullet.
Actually, Goodwin, who was there. Says that John Wynn, that's what he does. He sets it all up and he crushes with that joke. it's good, dude. I mean, you finished third a couple years ago.
Finished third a couple years ago, yeah.
And
right.
Now you're back.
I'm back. I'm trying to get the second.
It's all about progress.
Yeah, just one step up.
And, you know, at least I could say, I didn't advance, but at least I could say I'm sharing a room with a guy who advanced. And, you know, so, dude. You know, we talked a little bit about this. This is a rehashing.
Yeah.
You know, it's always crazy doing these contests, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We did one recently, just a couple weeks ago. I saw you.
Yeah, we did the Antelope Valley.
Yeah.
And you advanced to the semis on that.
Yeah.
I didn't advance in that one either.
That was a tough one, though, man.
Yeah.
That was
if you get back to the hotel room tonight and you see me hanging from the fucking balcony.
Yeah, all right.
You know, call the ambulance and tell my wife
course,
I loved
her.
You know, you can have all my gigs.
Yeah,
anything
perfect.
You want to come? You want to do my
gigs? I'll take them.
Do you think that's like, obviously, as a comic, for me, it's disappointing I didn't get through, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But part of it, this is like summer camp for college, for comics, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun. Like, I was going to stay in the room.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I was going to stay in the room when I came down. I'm glad I did, because now I started chumming with everybody,
started talking shit.
But, you know, would you rather be winning contests or working?
I'd rather be working.
Right?
I think this is one of those rare festivals, though. So, like, I think when you look at the festivals or contests or everyone to look at them, there's two things you should get out of each of these festivals. Either one, great industry, or two, great hang with other comics.
Right.
And so this one is decent because it's a good hang, especially when you know people. Like, I get to see you. I'm bummed I missed Gene Harding earlier, and you know, but I know some of these other guys. But at least this club also gives you work. I mean, that is the. I mean, hey, these may not be the AA plus clubs of the, you know, the kind of the corporate world, but they're good clubs, they're family owned clubs, you know what I mean? They're ways that you can kind of start building a career. So I think they're legit. I think there are some festivals though that are, they have no industry.
Right.
And some don't have good hangs either, which is a bummer, you know what I mean? But I think when the industry is good, like I thought that Antelope Valley, I mean, it's good industry.
Yeah.
I mean, beyond what I expected it to be, I mean, but, that one was just tough for me, just because of the not repeating material, and you know what I mean. That was a little bit tough, and I usually skew a little dirtier when I get into, you know, my longer sets.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that would have been.
So you're gonna go. You pulled number two for the semis, basically the top eight.
Yeah, top eight.
On Saturday, you pick number two.
I was so excited. I love it.
For people that don't know, what happens is once you win a show.
Yeah,
they, you know, Joe Lowers, the head of the
CEO
of the World Series of Comedy, and Gene Short wearing buffoon, he will come to you and say, pick a number, and see, I rather if, at an eight, I would think the choice spot would be like four or five,
right? Yeah,
because crowd's now warmed up,
right, hopefully in the
rhythm, and then you can come out and just ride the wave. Closing the show is really difficult because if people come up and do really well, then you got to make sure, because if you don't do well, it'll stand out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
But sometimes going up early can make a big difference, because if you come out early and start the thing, you're good.
Yeah, that's what I think. For me, I have so much anxiety waiting. I just get in my head, man. And you start hearing these other comics in front of you just crushing. And you're like, oh, shit, man. What? I mean, I don't know if I'm going to do it. So I just second-guess myself so much, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just second-guess myself. So I'm very happy to go early.
I relate that one time to, like, in martial arts tournaments. We did it, talk about it on the podcast. Like, there was nothing worse when you go to a martial arts tournament, like a taekwondo tournament.
Yeah.
You get there in the morning, and then all the kids go. Uh-huh. But the black belts fight late. The last things of the tournament is the black belt fighting competition.
Right.
So you're there all day.
Just watching.
And then you're seeing people with other black belts. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm going to fight that guy.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
fight,
you know. It's going to be.
And it's just all that nonsense.
Yeah.
And yeah, because when you sit in the green room, you're sitting back there. And,
you're just listening, and you're just kind of, I just got to, you know, I get in my head a lot, and just, so I much rather just go up first. I like to be a little bit faster pace.
I like
to try to pick up the pace a little bit and try not to eat my words, but try to just pick up the pace. And I like to try to set a precedent. Like, I try to do, when I go earlier, I like to try to do as many pops as possible, as many punches as I can do, you know?
When I did that, that's what I do. I like, especially in the beginning, I was coming out with boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom. And of course, you have your killer clothes.
Yeah.
My clothes, which normally clothes are pretty strong.
Yeah.
For some reason, it did all right, but it didn't.
What
like
number were you on?
I was, I think I was six of eight.
Yeah.
Or seven of eight.
Yeah. And
seven of
eight. The early show has been, for me, I mean, this crowd was a little bit tough, man. I thought, it's just, I mean, you were on a Wednesday night, right? Tuesday, Wednesday night? It's just, I don't know, man. It's kind of a, I felt like the crowd was, like, very scattered. And the laughs, even the guy after me and before me, like, the laughs were kind of, like, quick. Like, the laughs were, stop.
Yeah, it's great when they laugh and they shut up. They laugh.
Yeah, but no traction. Yeah. I mean, there was just no sustain. You can't go right into the next bit, you know? You have kind of, I think it affects timing. I think it affects the timing, in your mind at least, of the timing of it, so.
Yeah, it's fun. Well, dude, now you're going to get through, and now you got another chance to win it.
Yeah.
And then you get another chance to send emails out to the clubs
and not get booked. Yeah, and not get booked. Yeah, last time I emailed a lot of the clubs, and a lot of them were just like really weird.
Yeah.
Tuesday, Thursday, you know, and they was like, well, we'll try to find you something on a Wednesday. I was like, I need to know, like, in advance, so I can put the tour together. You know, I want to hit all of these places. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, I remember when I did it, when I reached the top eight in 2015. I mean, yeah. Joe gave us a thing. You sent an email out to the clubs,
yeah.
And they said, hey, top eight, World Series of Comedy, yeah. Main event. And then next thing you know, I was getting work. You know, and I've already said it. I should be a sponsor for the World
right.
Series of Comedy.
Right.
But I've got a lot of work from this thing.
Yeah.
And you know, you and I talked about the greatest thing about the World Series of Comedy, the satellites and all the various. It is a traveling comedy festival.
Yeah, you know, it's great. And I think the satellite thing is awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's a really cool thing they do, man. I think that's cool just to be seen at another club. He told me they got the Minnesota House of Comedy for next year. I'm gonna go to that one, man. I think that's a great club. You know, it's a famous club. I don't know if it's a great club. I've never done it, but I know it's a famous club that you kind of hear about. You know what I mean?
It's good to see that other like most of the work. I'm gonna be at the Chattanooga club next weekend.
Yeah,
the weekend
awesome.
After next. It only happened because I did the festival. So because you want to send emails out to a club owner. You could do that, but you could just show up, pay your member $30, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
They
have a good thing, too. You can do all the satellites up front for $50. It's worth it, man. Because you'd already say, hey, I'm going to go do this club. Like, next year, maybe I will do Boise. You know what I mean? Like, I hear it's a great club.
I definitely want to do that. I was mad to go this
year. You know, walk out with a tape, at least. You know what I mean? I mean, the problem, right, is that you're always, it's an investment of money. Because you got to pay for your travel. You got to pay for your room. You got to pay for your food. But I think if you can find a way, like the Phoenix one was great because I brought my wife. It was close enough to drive, so I brought my wife and kid. And so we made it. You know, we went to Six Flags, and Hurricane Harbor. We had the passes, so we were able to do that. And so we made it like a little fun thing. But like, I can't fly my wife and kid to Boise. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's just I wanted to go to that because I'd never been to that club.
Yeah, it's a great club.
But it was like $600 airfare.
Yeah, for you,
for me to go to Florida.
Yeah. Same for me. I wanted to go to Boston. $600.
Yeah.
You know, shit, man.
Well, it's crazy. But, all right, man. Well, this is good. You look, if I can't be there, you're there.
All right, so, man. I'm glad.
You know, no, I'm not. I'm pissed. I'll be honest with you. I'm pissed. I'm going to be choking you in fucking bed.
I'm going to be waking up with a pillow over my face.
I just want to make sure your pillow is slept, John.
John is really waking up late.
John, I never waking up. So that was good. Well, this is Dougie Almeida live on tape from the World Series of Comedy main event in beautiful East St. Louis. I mean, I haven't left the hotel.
Dude, this is...
There's an arch behind us, by the way, I haven't seen it.
We did Dayton after the tornado.
Yeah.
East St. Louis. And no tornado has hit here, but it does look like a tornado.
It does look like it. Yeah. This looks like Dayton. That's true. We did the Dayton, Ohio satellite, right? And right after the storms.
Yeah, that was crazy, dude.
Oh, my God. Just nuts. Well, hopefully we're not bringing bad. And then they had the shooting there.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
God forbid. But
it was right down the street. Too.
Yeah.
We
drove by it and we left.
Yeah.
So, hey, Ray. Well, hopefully no tornadoes hit St. Louis. Because it may clean up the fucking place. It may clean it up a little bit.
Right,
but,
well,
John, good luck Saturday.
Thanks, buddy.
And, I'll be here because I couldn't change my flight. Yeah.
Only because of cost.
Otherwise, I'd be home. Fucking miserable in making excuses. But anyway, check out John Wynn. Look him up. And if you're in California, see him whenever you can. All right?
Thanks, Doug.
You got it, guy. Hey, everybody. This is Dougie Almeida from the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live on location here at beautiful...
East St.
Louis. East St. Louis. East St. Louis on the Illinois side. At the Casino Queen here at the World of Series main event. Just fresh off stage. New friend I've met a few years ago. Interesting character. John Gregory. Jonathan Gregory's here. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's happening?
And we're on a podcast, and he's actually brushing his beard.
Yeah, I want to look good.
Yeah, it looks great, buddy. They'll listen.
Thanks,
just got off the stage. You closed the show.
Yeah.
The crowd, honestly, the crowd was a little fickle, a little light.
They were fun.
Yeah.
They were good, yeah.
Now, you didn't even seem... You had your mic... Like at your waistline. You don't really, you're the kind of comic that doesn't really hold the mic up to your mouth.
Yeah, well, I don't want to eat the mic, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you're loud, which is good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not bother. I mean, sometimes you see comics that have the mic all in their, they're rapping.
And
they have it in their mouth.
Yeah, I like rap music. But I'm not
you do?
Really, yeah, I'm not a rapper, though.
You don't seem like a rapper type.
Not really, but I like it, though.
Yeah, who's your favorite rapper?
I like Lil Nas X.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See, I'm so white, I have no idea who that is.
He's a gay cowboy.
Is he a gay cowboy?
Yeah, I like him.
Oh, I think I've seen him.
Yeah, he's the best.
I got to tell you, when you did the joke about getting protein through the wall.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a glory hole joke.
Well, yeah, it's a misdirection.
Yeah, yeah, and then, but of course, it's it was a Catholic joke. It was a Catholic joke.
Yeah.
I was say Andrew, who's just another comic who's just here, would appreciate that. Well, now see, now let me ask you, like, you're
I
funny
went to Catholic school, yeah.
Did you?
One half a year, first grade, one semester.
Really?
And my parents couldn't afford it anymore, so I went to public school.
You sure? That's why you're not going? Was it the affordability?
That's what I was told.
We'd like to speak to your parents. They're gone. I killed them. They're in my closet. But, dude, you're having a good year, man. I've seen on Facebook you're headlining a lot of the Tempe Improv, and you got a lot of shit going up, man.
Yeah, I'm tight.
Yeah? How long have you been doing this?
15 years.
Fuck.
Yeah.
It's about time. And also a new father.
Yeah, I got a kid.
Wow. Yeah, now listen, people are going to, do people ask you, are you really like this? Are you really the John? Jonathan
think?
On stage?
You hung out with me.
Well, yeah, I'm going to leave that up to you. I'm going to give away your fucking secrets. By the way, Chris Topher, a good friend of ours, says, oh, I'm glad you guys met. I'm like, we met a long time ago.
Yeah.
At the old SLO Comedy Festival.
Yeah, that was tight.
We were hanging out in a hotel room with 180 people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Complaints. No,
there's
complaints.
There's fucking food everywhere, and this guy walks in with a sandwich from 7-Eleven that the bread was really horrible.
You passed that sandwich like a joint. You know,
yeah.
Everybody took a bite.
I got pissed when somebody tried to light it. I'm like, dude, it's a fucking sandwich. So now listen, we're done. Like, I'm done. I was here Wednesday. I didn't advance. But I'm here because I couldn't change my flight.
Yeah.
So are you here for the rest of the weekend?
I'm going to fly out Sunday.
Yeah? What time?
2:45.
I was going to see if I can get a ride there. I got an 8 o'clock flight. It's horrible. I'm actually going to try to get a ticket to the St. Louis Cardinal game or something.
Tomorrow?
No, for Sunday, since I'm here. I figured if they got an early game.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to kick me out of this hotel.
8 p.m.? 8 p.m.?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You know?
That's late, yeah.
But I don't like, let me ask you, if you have a chance between a flight where you have a direct flight home and you can get, you have to wait
always
till 6.
Direct.
Or you fly out at 8 in the morning with 2 or 3 different connections.
No, never do. I'd always do direct flight, and then I just do the cheapest direct flight.
Yeah?
I go direct flight first, and I go cheapest.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's ones, I'll pay a little more for a direct flight. A little more. I mean, I haven't found situations where it's much more than like $40 difference. You know?
Right.
But I'll pay an extra $40 for a direct flight at a time I might not like, you know.
But I've noticed sometimes I use Southwest a lot. By the way, I'm trying to get them as a sponsor. But I use Southwest a lot, and it seems like the direct flights sometimes are cheaper.
Sometimes.
Right? Now, why? I don't understand that. I don't understand.
Well, it's sometimes. It just depends. I don't know. Why are we talking about flights?
I don't know, man. I mean, fuck. I mean, you're brushing your fucking beard, and, you know, I'm trying to figure out what the fuck's going on.
Talk about sex or something.
Sex?
Yeah, sex is good. Everyone loves sex. That's what sells. Sex sells.
Yeah?
Have I had sex before? Yeah, I have a kid.
Yeah, would hope at least once. So you married, you had a kid. No, some people say after you had a kid, sometimes it affects the love life.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't have any kids.
Uh-huh.
I had parents. And they never fucked up my... The only thing that's fucking up my sex life with my wife is my little dog. I call him Cock Blocker now because he's in the bed.
Yeah, my dog sleeps in bed, too. Yeah. I got a baby and a dog in bed, so I'm not getting laid.
I mean, the dog's looking a lot of shit, but...
I jerk off a lot.
Yeah, and the dog licks it up. Yeah, I mean, my dog, when I hug my wife, barks at me and shit and gives me fucking a headache. You know, I'm like, come on, dude. That's good, though. How long are you married?
What is it, like 5 years or something? 6 years?
That's
something.
Pretty good, man. 5 years and then a kid.
5 or 6 years.
Any more kids? You're thinking?
I don't know.
Spread it out. Because that's the thing. If you're going to have a kid, you want to have another sibling like a couple years apart.
I'm thinking no.
Yeah?
So I got a boy, so it's like I got the guy, you know.
Yeah, this guy's in China going, you're fucking lucky. He's a fucking guy, first time. You got a fucking one a kid boy. I have like 18 girl.
Yeah.
I have my own brothel.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I got to convince my wife to have sex with me again first.
Really?
If she will, then.
It's a convincing thing. It's like fucking trying to sell a car.
Yeah.
Look, I'll give you fucking low APA financing if you just blow me.
Well, because you can rape your wife, you know. That's what a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah.
Just because it's your wife doesn't mean that it's... Just because it's your wife doesn't mean it's consensual. Like, you have to still ask. And,
really?
Yeah.
Well, if they ask, did you ask? Did she say yes? She said yes. She does. When we got married, that was it. I don't need anything past that. You know, that's interesting, though, man. Now you live in Phoenix.
Yeah, Scottsdale. I'm in the nice part.
Scottsdale, Arizona, man. That is nice out there.
Yeah, I'm in a really nice place. I'm a nice guy.
Yeah. Did you get the feeling tonight the crowd was a little nervous and scared? Did you feel that they were like you were looking
kinda,
at?
I thought they were kind of turned on a little bit.
Yeah.
I saw an erection on one guy.
Really? Yeah. With all those lights in your eyes?
Yeah.
You got a keen eye for fucking that shit, dude. Sometimes it's funny when you're in a crowd because I like to make contact. You know, a lot of times new comics will get in the habit. I tell when I talk to comics new, I said don't look down because a lot of times a comic will tell a joke and look down and stuff like that, not connect with the audience. I'm like, sometimes they say, well, the lights are so bright, I can't see anybody. I go, fuck it, still look. Look in the fucking light there, Donald Trump. You know, in the fucking eclipse. Yeah. You know, look out into that horizon of the audience, you know, and stuff like that. So, I don't know, man, what are we going to do? Not disappointed? Does this really matter to you when you don't advance? Is that something you ever, is that like something you're like, fuck? Like, you're thinking things you would have done, should have done.
Yeah, I'm gonna kill myself.
No, fucking don't take it that bad, bro. You got a kid and everything. Now.
Yeah, no, I don't really care about much of anything.
You can't do that shit. Well, fuck, man. I don't know. This is you've been in a few of these. Did we originally meet here? We met in there was an SLO. We meet here. I think we met originally at the one.
Do you
of the,
know Nick Catone?
Nick Catone. Yeah, it sounds familiar.
MMA.
Yeah.
Who's that?
I mean, you want me to know his credit score?
I don't know. Someone's asking me if I know who he is. I'm like, tell me
he's a badass.
Is he?
Yeah.
If he did something bad?
Well, I mean, he's a fighter.
Why is he asking me? I wonder. That's the weird
Let's find out.
He asked. I'm going to Google him and see if
Are you an MMA? Right are you an MMA fan?
Yeah, it's cool.
Now fight.
I'm a boxer, though.
I was going to say.
Boxing's my thing, but I like MMA, of course.
Now, you mentioned that.
You know?
Yeah, you mentioned that you do boxing. You go to the gym and do boxing. Have you ever fought, in fights, an actual sanctioned bout?
I had, 50-something fights.
50 fights? Amateur or pro?
Amateur, yeah. I won Arizona USA State 4 times. So I fought nationally, USA Boxing.
Nice.
Yeah, and I've been working at a... that was the first thing I did, is I started boxing as a kid.
Yeah?
I work at it. I'm still a boxing trainer. It's the only thing I've ever done.
At the bowling alley today, they had one of those punch things.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
All right.
I got excited. I hit it.
What'd you get?
980 or something.
That's good. 980 is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was worried and then I hurt my shoulder. I didn't go bowling because I don't want to fuck because my body's all crippled. And everybody said, you want to bowl? I'm like, no, I got a bad back and shit and my shoulder hurts. And then I'm sitting there punching a fucking back. I mean, you know. But they say it's supposedly if it's good for bars to keep people from fighting.
Is it?
I think the opposite.
Well, I read a psychological study. It's actually because they always say, and I always, because parents always ask me to train the kid for boxing or something.
Right.
And they're like, well, he's an aggressive kid. We want to get him to channel his aggression or something else like that. And there's actually like a real psychological couple studies that have been done that contact sports like boxing, football and stuff like that actually build aggression and make people more violent.
Really? I taught martial arts. I ran a martial arts school and everything.
But there's a psychology behind martial arts.
Yeah, you think it's different than boxing? I can see that.
My boxing trainer was a total sociopath and a bad
person. Oh, really?
Person. Yeah, he abused me.
Really?
But that made me a good boxer. But it was... It's a different... Just like football coaches can be assholes, but they're good football coaches.
Right.
It's kind of like that. It's a little... Martial arts has a... a psychology behind it of how to live and it's a little different.
But it's almost a Star Wars thing, you know. Because at school, it's like anything. When you get the power, some people go to the dark side, and then some people, I grew up with kids that when they learned it, they were martial artists, and they would be the ones always getting in the fights.
Yeah.
You know, I had a little period of time in middle school where I was protecting people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I stood up for the fucking weak guy. I slung my shit around. But my instructor. He found out, it was like the old karate, the opposite of karate kid. My instructor found you had a fight, he'd put you in the ring. Like I said, I remember one time, I think I was 12 or 13, had a fight. And so he put me in there with an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Just beat the shit out of me for 5 minutes. We had gear on and stuff.
Well, that's how I started, when I started sparring, it was like that. I just got the shit kicked out of me for 2 years.
Now, I'll ask you this, as somebody who spars, the general rule. Because usually when you spar, you come out at a certain pace. You don't want to fuck anybody up.
Depends. This is another thing. My trainer was a little bit different. I had regular sparring partners I work with, but there was like, I sparred with pros. There was a pro camp at my gym at the time, a bunch of Russians.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of Vasily Jurov.
Yeah.
Sergey Lukosevich, he was a heavyweight champ.
Yeah, yeah.
And this Andre, I can't even say his last name, but this Andre guy was my main sparring partner. But I spar with him, and I spar with Sergey, the heavyweight, a little bit sometimes. I never sparred Vasily, but we're friends. And
yeah.
I know Vasily well. He still lives in Scottsdale. But those guys, like when I spar with Andre, was like he cut me and stuff. It was no like. Like we sparred like
really went out.
We sparred like yeah. We sparred hard, and he like really hurt. Like he hurt me a bunch. And
wow.
I used to spar with BJ Flores. He went, you know, BJ Flores on Fox.
Yeah, yeah.
Sport boxing. He was in Arizona too. He's still there in Arizona.
That's cool.
And yeah, he beat the shit out of me a bunch of times. I might held my own and stuff, but I was, you know, I mean, there's some guys that would just go for you. Sergey was cool since he was a heavyweight. I'm not really heavyweight. He worked with me.
Yeah.
It was more for fights when he was fighting smaller guys.
Just get the speed and stuff.
Just to get the distance of a shorter guy coming forward, you know. So he was easy on me. Sergey could kill me. So that was the more, he was easy with me.
Which the people always said, like when you spar, the people I was always scared to spar in martial arts were like white belts. You know, the people that don't really have skills.
Because they're the ones that hurt you, they can cut you, make you, they can cause injuries.
Yeah, they're the one that kicks you in the balls. Yeah, you know? Yeah. They'll kick when you kick, or they'll block with their elbow, and next thing you know, your foot catches the elbow and shit. But I remember one time I was trying the same thing. There's this one guy, Matt Ives, in Palm Beach.
Uh-huh.
He was an extreme fighter, and they said, because I was really well known for my kicks, and so the guy says, we're fighting a guy who's got devastating low kicks and stuff, so he wanted me to spar him.
Yeah.
And this guy was a pro boxer. That ended up learning martial arts. So he had a fucking hook. I remember we're sitting there, second round, you know, I'm going at him. I'm like trying to be nice. You know, you don't do that in sparring.
Yeah.
And then the guy, his trainer said, dude, I want you to try to blow this guy's legs out. And I said, you sure? Because, you know, I mean, I'm 5'9". At the time, I was 200. He was like 6'4", 248. So and I said, I don't really. So I'm doing it. But by the middle of the second round, this guy hits me the left hook. And my nose is never broken. I mean, look at it. You ever break your nose?
Like three times.
Really?
It doesn't look like it, right?
No,
it doesn't. Watch when I go up like this. Do you see the nostrils?
Yeah, I can see the line up there. Yeah, it's a lot of. I've never broken this fucking thing. And look at it. It looks like a rudder on a boat. But I never broken it. But I remember when this guy hit me with this left hook. I was ducking down. He threw this, and I heard this noise. You know, like when you take like it's like a 2x4 against cement, and it makes. And I made that noise. I could have thought it was broken, and I said, "That's it. We're done." You know, but when you're sparring with somebody, you don't want to be a pussy and like stop. You want to wait till at least get to the ring, you know. But sometimes in sparring, when you, I would always say, I'm going to give what you give. You know, if you start hitting hard, I'm just going to try to match you. I always leave it up to somebody else.
I don't spar anymore.
No. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I probably will again. I always say that, then I don't. But just, I don't
know. I love it. Like you were talking when we met, when we were at SLO, you went to do your move on me.
Yeah.
Like you were going to hit, come at
me.
Oh,
you put your leg up. You kick my ass. I could just tell, like, I could tell in a real fight you kicked my ass. I could just tell. Yeah.
Well, you got hands, man. Hands.
Oh, I got hands, but I got one shot. I got to get a shot. And I could, if I catch you, I have a good right hand. If I catch my right hand, you know, that's good. But
I, you know, to me, it's like
it's not
when,
that big
when I would box. I did Muay Thai. I had 10 professional Muay Thai box. But I had a few guys I fought that were boxers, and their hands. I mean, when I got hit, you always feel different between a pro boxer and a karate guy.
It's different. Yeah, it's totally different.
And, but I'm the only thing, thank God, the leg. I thought this guy was a pro boxer. He's like 6'3", 248. And he, the first round, he was just the jab, you know, I was like trying to get around. I was like moving away from him, and he was taller.
Yeah.
And then I hit him with one of those leg kicks, and he had no legs. So once I felt timing-wise, hit this guy with a leg kick, and he just, you could tell in his, you know. And I always thought it was great. Like my trainers would tell me, it was like, I would smile. Like when I'm in a fight or sparring, I'm smiling the whole time.
Yeah.
Nothing pisses you off more when you hit somebody as hard as you fucking can, and they're smiling. You're like, "What the fuck is going on?" Well, anyway, man. Well, dude, I wish you would have went through. Good to see you. I wish I would have went through.
Yeah.
But now we got to sit around like putzes.
That's all good.
And hang out and just social, be social butterflies.
Yeah.
And you're not a very good social butterfly. You're more of a, you know, looking through the window, fucking bedroom, creepy fuck. Anyway, this is Dougie Almeida from the. Fucking main event of the World Series of Comedy here at the Casino Queen in East St. Louis, Illinois. Actually, we're in, Illinois. And I'm here with John Gregor. Where are you going to be next, man?
We're going to hit some mic up right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I might go.
Let's go.
We're going to go to an open mic. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll have some more reports here, some other people. Joe Lowers will be joining us, too, the actual producer of the whole thing, eventually. And Mike Merrifield will be joining us. So keep listening to Live on Location, the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
zombie. Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery night. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground.